Okay, well, praise God. The title of today's message is Lessons from the Garden. And as I woke up this morning, I was thinking, okay, and today's the day to record a sermon, and I didn't have anything yet, and so I was just asking the Lord, okay, what's on your heart? What do you want to speak today? And I was just planning on spending some time in prayer and the Word and to prepare a message. And as I started to ask the Lord, He said, go out and work in your garden. I'm like, well, but Lord, you know, I need to get the message. I need to get recorded and such. And the Lord said, David, why don't you go work in the garden? I'm like, okay. All right. So I put the message aside, the message that I didn't have yet, and went out and started working in the garden. And as I was working in the garden, the Lord began speaking, and I realized that, oh, He was giving me a message in the garden. So I've got a few points that I want to share. Before that, just want to share in general, as I was out there working in the garden, I was just blown away again by just the simple reality of a seed that gets planted. It grows into a plant, produces fruit, produces more seeds to multiply. And it's just incredible to me. Just the simple thing of this little seed that turns into a plant that produces things that can be eaten and can reproduce, multiply to even more plants. It's just amazing. And as I was thinking about that and just gardens in general, I was reminded that we are God's garden. We belong to Him. And so that's the first point that I want to bring here is we are God's garden and we belong to Him. Before we can move on anywhere, we need to realize we belong to Him. Let's read a couple scriptures. This is Psalms 24, verse 1. In Psalms chapter 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That pretty much sums it up. The earth, the world, all who live in it, everything, we belong to Him. Let's read a second verse in regards to that, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. First Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So here's this reminder as we begin here. We are God's temple or His garden or His dwelling place, or there's different analogies, but we belong to God and we are created to be His dwelling place. And there's a couple things that come out of here. It says, you were bought at a price. Let's remember God paid with His own blood for us. He loves us that much. Remember that this God that we belong to is a God who loves us. A God who is love. Now we can choose whether we want to rebel against Him or trust Him and come alongside Him. But he loves us. He paid the price for us. We belong to him. He rightfully purchased, redeemed us. So the first point is, we are God's garden, and the garden belongs to God. The second point that I want to bring is the simple power in the seed, or we're going to call that the word, the God's word. Don't underestimate the power of the word. Here's an example in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke 1, starting with verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary's response was, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. And then we know the end of the story. Mary gives birth to Jesus. But it comes in this impossible situation. It says, I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. How am I going to be with child? That doesn't work. And the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Do you realize the power in the Word of God? That when God's Word comes, it can bring life. Don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. Now, with this Word coming, we see Mary's response. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." In other words, right away she recognizes she belongs to God. She is God's. She is God's garden. And then she says, "May it be to me as you have said." And so she agrees with what God says. She says yes to what God says. God says, "This is it. This is going to happen." And Mary says, "Yes, I believe. Be it unto me according to your word." And so this leads us into point three, which is, what is our responsibility? If we belong to God, if we're God's garden, we belong to him, and there is power in the seed or the word of God that comes to us, what is our responsibility? Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. Get there in a moment. Somewhere in my Bible. There we go. So in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is telling a parable about the sower, the seeds that are sown on different soils. Some bore fruit and some didn't. And he's explaining this to his disciples. And for the sake of this message, I'm just going to pull out verses 14 and 15. You can read the rest on your own sometime. But it says, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and persevering, produce a crop. So what's our responsibility? Well, first on the negative side is we don't want to become choked out by life's worries, riches, or pleasures. We're going along through life and there's worries. You know, Mary could have been like, oh boy, you know, there's a lot of worries about having a child when she hadn't known a man, and how is this going to work, and how am I going to survive, and is Joseph going to still love me and care for me, and I mean, the questions are endless, the worries, and she could have just gotten all consumed in that, but instead she simply said, be it unto me according to your word. There's the riches. We can get so consumed with just wanting to have a lot of worldly possessions, worldly things. And when that becomes our focus, that'll trip us up. God may very well bless us with different things, but that cannot become our focus, or we'll get distracted from what God has called us to. There's the pleasures. We can get consumed with just wanting to feel good, have a pleasurable experience, and we can lose sight of God and what He has spoken. But really, I don't want us to get too distracted with trying not to worry, or not to be distracted with riches, or not be distracted with pleasures. That's really not very helpful, because that just comes from our own strength and we're trying not to do this and not to do that. What we should really be focused on is what should we be doing? And that says to hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So let's focus on the word. That word retain means to hold fast. How do we hold fast to the word? Well, keep it in front of us. There's the written word of God that I'm incredibly thankful for. And there's the Holy Spirit who breathes life and gives revelation to His word. And it's that word, that revelation word that God speaks to our hearts that we want to hold fast to. And again, there's various different ways, and I'm not going to bring a formula, but what do you do when God speaks to you? You're like, okay, that's nice, and then forget about it and never give it another thought? Often when I hear the word, I write it down. When God speaks something, I write it down. I'm like, I want to hold fast to this. I'll read it again at another point. I'll think about it. I'll ask God again at another point in time. I'm like, God, what do you really mean by that? Or what? And ask more questions and allow Him to speak to my heart and hold fast. Hold fast to what He says. And then it says, retain it. And it also says, by persevering, produce a crop. That word persevere means patient enduring. Now, if things happened right away, we wouldn't need patience. There'd be no need for patience. But it says patient enduring because why? Because it takes time. It doesn't happen immediately. I mean, something may be begun, but there's time between when that happens and when we see the fruit. Think about a garden. You plant the seed in the ground, put the soil on top, and then you wait. You water it and such, but you wait. And for a while, you don't see anything. You're like, I hope that seed's still in there. Is it doing anything? Well, what you can't see is it's putting down roots. And then a little shoot's starting to come up. And then eventually it breaks above the surface and you're like, oh, there is some life there. but it's still just a little shoot, and then it grows more and into a plant, and you're like, great, but it's just a plant. You know, I'm looking for something that I can eat. But eventually then it buds, it flowers and produces fruit. And then the fruit takes time to mature before it's finally ready for the harvest. Hold fast to what God has said, even if it takes time. When we think about it in Scripture of Abraham, he was the father of faith. God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Well, what happened? It was a lot of years to work that out. That was his life of working that out. And he didn't even see the full fruition until after he died. In my own life, I think about numerous examples, but I remember when I was working as an engineer and God spoke to me and said that, you know, there were other things for me in my life. And I struggled and tried to get out of engineering and didn't have the strength in and of myself. And God said, David, I'm going to get you out at just the right time. But that, between when he said that and when he actually got me out, that was years. And sometimes I believed and sometimes I wavered. God, you know, is this really going to happen? Are you really have more other things for me? You know, what I, you know, have I failed? Am I too weak? Am I, you know, all these worries, all these thoughts, all these things. But at the end of the day, God did it. I think about also, I'm in a relationship with Sarah right now. And as we walk alongside each other and get close to each other and begin to share our own individual stories and what God has spoken to us in the years past, specifically in regards to our relationship. And we stand back like, wow, what God spoke was true back when we didn't even really know each other. And yet God spoke things. And to see those things begin to come together. Like, wow, that's amazing. But it required endurance, patience. I think probably more patience on her part than mine. But we both had a waiting period before what God spoke actually came to fruition. And there's still things ahead that we have yet to see. But hold fast to what he says. Don't get caught up in the worries and the riches and the pleasures and all these other things that can steal our attention. Hold fast to what he says. So we are God's garden. We belong to him. There is power in the word that God speaks to our hearts. We have the responsibility to hold fast or to believe what he says. But what's God's responsibility? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 7, Paul is speaking and he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. God's the one that makes things grow. See, we hold fast to what he says, but it's God that actually makes things grow. Without him, there's no life. Without him, it won't work. It's God's responsibility to make it happen. It's our responsibility to believe what God says, hold fast to it, draw near to him day by day, step by step, even though we may not see how it's all going to work or see the whole big picture, keep following after him day by day and watch him bring the increase. Now, in all this, I want to finish up with one last point, and this is just a reminder of who God is, of His ability, of His heart. And this is in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. It says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the God we serve. Nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing can separate us from Him. There's nothing we have done or will do or anything that can make us fall too far. All we have is to turn to Him, hold fast to what He says, draw near to His heart, and allow Him to do the work in our lives. He's the one that does the work. We simply come to Him and hold fast to what He says. That's what we do. Draw near to God. Hold fast to what He says, endure patiently, and you'll see the fruit. The little seed that may seem minuscule, that might seem like nothing, can turn into a plant that produces many, many, many fruits. Filled with many, many seeds. One seed can produce hundreds, thousands of seeds, depending on the plant, as well as food. Don't underestimate the power of God's Word in your life. You might seem like just one person, and maybe God's spoken something to you, and it might seem like just some little thing, and it'd be like, what's that? But that one little seed can grow up, and it can produce fruit for you and for those around you. Don't underestimate the power of God's Word. Let's finish with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your great love. Thank You that You paid the price, that You took care of the sin issue, that we can come boldly before You because of Your blood, not because of any work that we've done, but simply because You love us and You made a way. And You just say, come. Father, thank You for that. Father, we acknowledge Your greatness. We acknowledge that nothing is too hard for You. There's nothing too hard. There's no failure. There's no hardship. There's nothing that is too hard for You to overcome in our lives. Father, forgive us for times when You have spoken and we have just thrown it aside. When You've spoken a word and we're like, oh, well, whatever. Can't be. Father, forgive us for our lack of faith at times. Oh, Father, stir up. Right now I'm just encouraging You. The things that God's bringing to your heart at this moment, things that He's reminding you that He has spoken to you. Hold fast. If He's bringing things to your mind at this moment, I encourage you, write it down. Write it down. Hold fast. You might even want to put the date. God said this, and this is the date that He said it. I'm holding fast to it as the days go on. God is not a man that he should lie. If he says it, he will do it. I just bless you with strength in your inner man, that you would walk worthy of the call that is upon your life. God made you for a purpose. And he made you to be fruitful. And that fruitfulness is going to look unique. It's not going to look like everybody else's. Don't try to just do what other people do. You are unique and you have a unique gifting and a unique calling. And God placed you on this planet for a reason. Draw near to him. Listen to his word, hold fast to his word, endure patiently, and watch over the years as God brings forth the fruit in your life that only he can do. Faithful is he who has called you, who will also do it. God bless you. May his face shine upon you. May you be filled with his peace this day. Amen and amen.